Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure what I'm to say after all of that. I am delighted and honored to be back with you in Exuma for the second time within a week. Last week, I had the honor of hosting the Chinese ambassador and his wife to Exuma, and he had a wonderful time. The ambassador wrote me a letter, which I received today, and in it, he asked me to convey to the representative, Anthony Boss, and to the administrator, Everett Hart, his appreciation for the many kindnesses shown to him while he and his wife were in Exuma. He offered up the observation that Exuma has a bright future from all that he has seen here. He would, of course, have no argument from me or from the government. It is clear that this island is developing and developing rapidly. The question is, how is that growth to be managed to be able to take advantage of all of the opportunities that it presents? There are challenges, but more importantly, opportunities. Migration provides one of the greatest challenges, and by that I mean the inward movement of people, both legal and illegal, into this small community, and how that affects and will affect the community. There is no sense saying that we have to slow down the changes in order to better manage the changes. One really has to accept that change comes when it comes and at the pace that it comes. We have simply to be ready to manage what those changes will bring. And I'm sure it is a subject that takes up much of the time of the citizenry here in Exuma. I am sure that the reestablishment of the Chamber of Commerce is a response to the changes that have been brought within the last 5 years in Exuma. Let me say congratulations to the officers of the Chamber of Commerce here and wish them all well in their endeavors. I wish also to bring greetings from the Right Honorable Prime Minister, Ferry Christie, who was hoping to be able to come here today, but is unavoidably able to be here. Please be assured that he sends his warmest greetings and has asked me to extend warmest congratulations to all the officers and members of the Chamber, wishing them every success. Now, I've been asked tonight to spend some time about the question of embracing the future and how we face the future in Exuma. I begin with a number of stories and the history. My history with Exuma is a relatively recent one, although for many it is really a lifetime ago. I first came here at the feet of Sir Lyndon Pinling in 1977, shortly after taking charge of the Public Affairs Unit of the Broadcasting Corporation. The representatives for the area at the time were two ministers of the government, Livingston Coakley and George Smith. Both are no longer in the House of Assembly, and you have a new leader today in Anthony Moss. In those days, Mr. Moss was a youngster. When I came first to Exuma, the men who were the civic leaders were men like the father of the representative, the late Ellie Moss, and I remember Reverend E.J. Rowe. Of those local leaders that I remember, John Marshall, Sam Gray, Charles Clark, Kermit Rowe, Vernon Curtis, Basil Mintz, Kenneth Nixon, all feature prominently in my memory. Of course, Kermit Rowe, Sam Gray, Vernon Curtis, and Kenneth Nixon are still with us. I also remember Danny Major, who ran BEC. Still with us. He said that for an old man, he's doing well. And I can say the same thing, too, for me. But I also remember Danny Major, who ran BEC at the time. And, of course, he's here tonight, although retired from BEC. When I first met him, I had come here with Monsignor Preston Moss, who used to administer the church, St. Teresa's, at Georgetown. And he was the organist. I don't know if he still plays the organ, but he was the organist then. Today, as I was taken out on the water for the interment of the ashes of a constituent, the boat was piloted by Anthony Balfour, that in the days when I first came here, Archdeacon Keith Cartwright used to be the Anglican priest, and he was one of the young men who used to live at the rectory. Today, he's a grown man with his own business and hoping to take his place in this community. In those early days, John Marshall and Sam Gray were the big businessmen. And at one time, Sam Gray's was the only establishment from which you could get rental cars. Today, there are many, and all headed by young men and women. It is a truism that the only thing that is constant in life is change. I reminded the audience at the ecumenical service last week of the lines from Shakespeare's As You Like It. All the world's a stage, and all men merely players on it. Each man in his life plays many parts. They have their exits and entrances. When I became a minister of the government, the brutality of our system came home to me. I was an opposition provocateur one day, minister of the government the next day. There was no time to think, no more excuses, because people want you to have the answers for their problems. You were it, just as simply as that. And I remember telling the people of Fox Hill as I went to say thanks to them, that I recall the biblical expressions that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. My political involvement in Exuma is also a story in many parts. And I thought this morning, as I was at breakfast at Peace and Plenty, which when I first came here, of course, was the only place that you could have breakfast, but that too has changed. And I remember in 1992, when I sat with the former Governor General, Sir Orville Turnquest, a few nights before the general election in 92, and he looked into Elizabeth Harbor as we ate dinner and went on to say that he thought he would finally achieve his life's dream to become a minister of the government. Ironically, it was almost that same spot that 10 years later I had a meeting with the now representative of Exuma to meet him and talk about the possibility of his running for office in Exuma. What is the point of all of this storytelling? Well, to explain, I need to tell another story. I had the good fortune to become a lecturer at the College of the Bahamas in the spring of 1988. I was only able to serve one term. And during that time, I met some bright students in what was then the politics and government class at the College of the Bahamas. I was their lecturer. In that class, amongst others, were Raynard Rigby, who's now sitting here, the chairman of the PLP, Michael Halkidis, the now parliamentary secretary for finance, and Tyrone Fitzgerald, an attorney who has his own firm. All of them were successes, are now successes in their own right. When I worked at the Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas, Obi Wilshkin, who is now the Minister of Tourism, was an anxious but determined and talented sports writer and broadcaster, who I thought ought to be brought to Nassau. And when I did that when I was Director of News and Public Affairs, introduced him to politics, and of course you now know the rest is history. Now, I can stand still today and say that these are, in fact, boys to me. But what entitles me not to respect their views and their determination to succeed and to make their imprint upon this country, their own vision of the Bahamas? The future of the Bahamas is as much theirs as it is mine. And they are all well trained to make their contribution with the finest education that any generation of Bahamians has ever had. So my point is that the now generation of leaders must be allowed to get on with their work. 25 years ago, there were some glory days in one sense in Exuma, but today, these are bigger and better glory days. And the now leadership of Exuma must be trained and encouraged to do their part to embrace it. You, who take over the chamber tonight, are part of that now leadership. It is the young with the not so young. Both must work together, none undermining the other. It is now your time to help Exuma fulfill the dreams of the generations of all those men and women who went before us. We must build on their vision. And those who have the experience must try to build up those who do not have the experience on their time on the stage. It is the duty of past leaders to help, to continue to nurture, and to encourage the now leaders of Exuma, and they must be allowed to make their own mistakes and forge their own way. In one sense, we have to let go of the past. In another sense, we must remember it and pay tribute to it. But we cannot dwell in the past. We must embrace the future. At the beginning of this address, I spoke about managing the effects of migration Exuma, both legal and illegal. It is estimated that the population of Great Exuma may have increased by 1,500 since the year 2002. That is a significant increase in mature persons with substantial income and earning power. They will therefore not be an inert group. They will have new choices and bring a culture and way of life that is different from the traditional Exuma way of life. The challenge is how to integrate these new people in the society, showing them the best and sharing with them your own cultural and economic values, and they with you. One of the current issues that the government is interested in is making sure that the traditional Exumian is able to share in economic well-being and windfall in Exuma. No doubt, there is a great deal of discussion over just how the native Exumian can share and benefit in the success, and not just by being workers in the economy. The new growth will demand better service in restaurants and other points of distribution of goods and services. And today, as we were sitting over lunch, for example, we were talking about the availability of fish, fresh fish, in Exuma, or the availability of fruits, bananas in particular, at restaurants, and how you can improve those systems of distribution. New banks are coming, and these new banks will come here to cope with the increasing demands and investment opportunities. At Emerald Bay, which has been the catalyst for much of the growth, one of the observations made is that there is a need for a greater variety of social activities on the island, so that guests will feel that once they've had a good time during the day, that there will be some variety of other things to do at night. The need for a wider variety of social activities must also apply to the local population as well. There must be movie houses, night spots, theaters, and social clubs. There must be economic opportunities in all of that. A key factor, then, will be access to capital. And we are all committed to expanding the opportunities for access to capital. The Bank of the Bahamas is to help provide that. And the Office of Prime Minister, headed by Danny Strong, who is here tonight, should also aid in that effort. The Bahamas Development Bank has already made and will continue to make substantial investments in the economy of Exuma. But no matter what we do, unless there is an entrepreneurial class that is willing to commit their own resources and talents to the success of Exuma, capital will go to waste and the opportunities will be lost to native Exumians. It seems to me that the Chamber must be pivotal in the lobbying effort for access to capital and the training and encouragement of entrepreneurs. The legal migration is one thing, but the legal migration will also bring with it illegal migration. The Bahamas is already a magnet for illegal migration because of the opportunities for the laboring classes to get work, and work that Bahamians are generally unwilling to do at the offered price. You all know the debate about illegal migration is quite intense in the Bahamas at this time. But if we are seeking solutions to this, let us not descend into the useless politics of rowing. We need to be serious about seeking to solve the problem. And the answer is to manage migration. I don't know if your chief counselor, Reverend Franklin McKenzie, remembers this, but he was talking to me once about the changes that he had to make in his church to be able to attract new people who have come to Exuma. He made the point that in order for the church to grow, it could not just confine itself to what it was doing before. If it wanted to attract new members with their different views and experiences, then the church itself had to fashion its methods and practices in order to keep the old, but to attract the new. It seems to me that this is a healthy approach and is to be commended across the board. I would like to say something also about the infrastructural needs of Great Exuma. Suffice it to say that the message is loud and clear in Nassau about the need for water to be taken to Little Exuma and to Rollville. The efforts are being made by the Minister of Works to secure funding for these operations. The same can be said for the primary school which has long been promised for Georgetown. You have the assurance that your representatives, both parliamentary and local, have been pushing the government on these issues. And the Minister of Works, just last week, authorized the Reverend Franklin McKenzie to begin working on the new temporary structures at the Exuma International Airport. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that work would have begun this morning. Infrastructural investment is also a key factor in the development of Exuma. The second key factor, along with the management of migration. I would also like to take this opportunity to invite the people of Exuma to be sure that they help to preserve the history of Exuma. When I was speaking last week at Independence, I talked about the history of the slave revolts which actually began in Exuma, a famous slave called Pompey, who was a leader of one of the revolts here. And that history needs to be written down because this becomes part of the fabric of the culture of Exuma, and if people are coming in from the outside, they want to know what went on here. For example, when I first came here, in the town of Georgetown itself, there was a two-way street in Georgetown. It's now all one-way, and I don't remember what year that all changed. But again, it's factors which document the changes that have taken place over the years in the community. Red Smith was just telling me a few minutes ago about how, as a boy, he was able to swim in the creek, which I believe is called Lake Victoria, behind St. Andrew's Church. And I gather you can no longer do that today. Which leads me to the point of the preservation of the environment. As we drive around the island of Great Exuma, and development is taking place at the rapid pace it is, I ask the question, which I ask in this island and in New Providence and in Grand Bahama and in Abaco. Why is it that when we begin to build in the Bahamas, we feel we have to take a tractor, take out all of the trees, and then begin from scratch to build, and then buy trees to put in? Already a law which has tamarind, the wild tamarind tree, and the horseflesh tree are both protected trees in law. And so is the Madeira tree, also called mahogany, which are native to these islands. And in order to cut those trees down, you're supposed to get a permit to do so. But no one observes this clearly. And it seems to me, in an island where tree growth is very slow because of the type of soil and the rainfall, it's up to us now, with all of the tree covering we have here, to take some steps in our public planning to ensure that the tree cover remains, because that is part of the character of what Great Exuma is. And so, the old has passed away. All things are made new, and change is with us, and more is coming. The government is not afraid nor apologetic about using political power to bring about change and to foster change. The unfortunate thing, in my view, about the public debate is that too many who are involved in non-governmental advocacy seem to want politicians to apologize for being politicians and for exercising political power. There is no need for any apology. Political power is good, and just like any other power, can be used for good or for evil. But when it is used for good, it must be used and must be used without hesitation, with deftness and imagination, for the good of the people. That is my view. So, I want to thank you tonight at this late hour for listening to me for these few minutes and inviting me to be here tonight. Once again, I apologize for the absence of the Right Honourable Prime Minister. I should also say that the representative himself has also been ordered to bed with back spasms this evening, so I apologize also for his absence. But I have a special responsibility and love for Exuma, and I know that you will all do well. I thank all of those who have come to join us in this wider behavior community, who have invested here, who are helping the place grow and expand and provide the wonderful opportunities for all the people who live here. And I wish you every success in your endeavors. Thank you and God bless you.